Welcome to Conspiracy Beer Me. I am Justin.
I'm Shane.
And you are listening to the podcast that's making conspiracies fun again today. The most dangerous game in the world.
Oh, hell yeah. Hunting people. I'm down.
Also, why soccer sucks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Fuck your game.
Yeah. So that's the subtext. We're talking about all World Cup conspiracies and controversies.
Oh, fun.
In Qatar. Very exciting. I am about to sip my first beer of the day.
Yeah.
Well, I guess probably technically I sipped some after midnight last night. I got to hang out. Very funny, Caleb Sinan.
Oh, yeah.
He was in town.
Caleb, if you're listening to the pod, next time do our pod.
Do our pod, man. You like paranormal stuff. We are rapidly approaching the holidays, and I promise if you've contacted me about a hat, I will learn how to do fulfillment. I promise. It's hard to do it when you're like, I don't make any money off this. I'm give it to you at cost. But thank you. It's a way of saying thanks to our patrons. So I'm being really bad about it.
You have one job. Shane does everything.
And we haven't brought you in yet. Guest.
Yeah. Have you been on this pod before?
Okay. It's been a while. I'm sorry.
No, it's all right. Yeah,
we're going to bring him in. Listen, okay. In order to deal with this very controversial topic, we brought the only soccer fan that we know.
Yep.
Our good friend, co-host of Bopper Flop, a resident of the studio. Please welcome to the show, Jordan Scott Huggins.
It's the world's game. It's not just my game,
no,
okay?
It's true.
It's the world's game.
Well,
dude.
Look, okay, well, let's.
And Joe Pro likes it too. He's another great guy.
Joe Pro likes it, yeah.
And I like.
Thanks for having me, guys.
I do like Joe Pro. And let's just up front before we dive into the conspiracies and controversy of the 2022 World Cup presented by FIFA. Let's just establish at the top that soccer sucks.
Balls it takes for you to say that as a track and field coach.
Well,
maybe one track and fielder.
Well, which one do you want? You want somebody?
I'm not talking about Shane. Name me one tracker or fielder.
Yeah, but you know what?
Shikari Richardson doesn't count.
Well, just so you know, I think all sports suck. So it's not like I just hate soccer.
I don't say that track and field is great. I say it's a niche sport for a very certain type of person.
And you just widely soccer sucks.
I like sports. I don't like soccer.
That's fine. You could say that.
Well, let's talk about the World Cup then.
I'll give you a nugget to end on. Now, is there any sport in the world that's more rife with
Corruption
than soccer? No. And that's another reason it's the best.
Okay. Well, let's talk about that because that's the basis for our as you know in 2010 FIFA.
You said it right the first time. I know you're just.
Is it FIFA?
It's FIFA.
FIFA.
Oh, okay. I know FIFA. I don't know FIFA. Yeah.
Federation. It's French for the international.
They're the
football.
Governing body of soccer in terms of like the world. They're the equivalent of the Olympic Committee.
Yeah.
And much like the Olympic Committee, the countries in this world, the powerful cities in this world, will make bids to host the World Cup, and it's
supposed to be a random draw.
It's clearly a random draw. Yeah, it'll be random when like Salisbury, North Carolina gets because you have to build. It's not just one stadium that you build. You have to build a lot of stadiums.
Like, well, there are 32. So this year and the last several World Cups have been 32 teams. And divided into, what's 32 divided by 4? However many groups.
Eight
groups of 4. Each of those groups plays, I don't know, each of those teams plays each other 3 times. Or you play each of the other once, and then each team plays 3 times. So
it's a lot of games.
It's a lot of games.
And so you don't just have a stadium.
It's like the Olympics. It's like,
I think Qatar has,
I think Qatar has
like 7 or 8 stadiums that they built. Which they built. They didn't have.
So you
beforehand.
Say it Qatar. You say it Qatar.
Qatar and Qatar or Qatar are fine. The like Muslim or not the Muslim, but I forgot the name of the language. The Islamic way to pronounce it. It's not even Islamic. It's whatever it is.
Okay.
The
Arabic.
The Arabic. Thank you. Gosh, the Arabic way to pronounce it is like Qatar or something.
Yeah.
Like
okay.
Well, I say Qatar.
Qatar. All right. Well then.
They're
2010
all right.
Qatar.
They're just happy that somebody knows the name of their country.
Right, yeah.
And, is it Doha?
Doha.
Doha. Mm-hmm. Doha, the biggest city there. was awarded the World Cup, much to the surprise.
The whole country was awarded.
The whole country, yeah. but it was that was going to be the host city.
It is, yeah.
Which, at the time, had been in a long period of trying to attract more tourism to the country. Now, whether you know it or not, Qatar is an extremely wealthy country. By some accounts, it's one of... Yeah, it only has like a few million people in the entire country.
It's small, and then I think land-wise, it's smaller than Connecticut.
Yeah, so it's we're not even talking about a large city. Like a 3 million, there's a lot of cities in the United States and in the world with way more than 3 million people.
You could drive, it looks like a little mitten on top of, into the peninsula or the Arabian Peninsula or whatever. But it's like 2 hours if you're to drive north to south. It's not far at all.
It's a small country.
And Lusail, the stadium, was like 45 minutes, an hour north of Doha.
Yeah, it was controversial for no other reason for just why did you award it to such a small town?
Right.
How did this go?
Everyone expected something else, and then it was awarded, and everyone that like is on the main body was like, what the fuck?
And right before it was awarded to Qatar, two or three of their executive committee for FIFA were suspended.
Yes.
For
improper ball handling?
Yes. They were their implications. And then, as most people probably know, but have since forgotten, that there were multiple investigations into the awarding of Qatar the World Cup by numerous countries, including the United States.
Yeah.
And now, nothing has ever really stuck, but it's pretty clear from the preponderance of evidence that they bribed a lot of people.
For sure. Sepp Blatter, who was the FIFA president at the time, who pulled the name Qatar, whatever, out of the bowl, he's in jail. I think he got busted.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He got reelected, and then he resigned immediately because he knew his case was cooked.
I remember the announcer because there was later on, a couple months after that, there's a French comedian and activist who showed up at a press conference when they were announcing everything and rushes the stage and hands Sepp Blatter like a handful of cash, throws it up in the air.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, stuff like that.
Yeah, so I mean, and look,
It was rigged. I mean, it's so sure clearly, it there's never been a bigger rigging than, you know, in the world.
Yeah, and for numerous reasons. One, they didn't even have a good soccer team.
They did not.
They do now.
They're okay.
Didn't they make it out of group play?
They did not make it out of group play. It's actually interesting. They're the only country that's ever hosted the World Cup that did not also naturally qualify for the World Cup.
So
unfamiliar with the process. Every host country automatically gets entry into the World Cup. Mm-hmm. They're automatically entered. They're one of the 32, and then when they open it up, 42 or 48 teams or whatever. But you know, the last several countries, Russia, Brazil, Argentina, places that have hosted at the United States, they naturally qualified through the normal process of playing and their thing and qualifying and stuff. Qatar is the only one that did not naturally qualify.
Well, yeah, because they suck.
They're bad, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So let's get to the...
They're not even close to being the best in Asia.
Let's get to the conspiracy then, all right?
Yes.
But
you're saying the Qatar World Cup is happening right now.
Yes, yeah. Right now.
It's right now.
Yeah. It's right now.
Started November 21st.
Yeah, we don't even know all. I mean, nobody in this pod cares about soccer. I mean,
I've been asleep this entire time. Yeah, we're
trying to get to the goods. I'm just saying that it was very controversial because it was pretty clearly a bribe.
Yeah.
But also because, let's be honest, they don't have a stellar track record on human rights.
For sure.
No, they love women and gays.
No, not. No, they don't.
Not at all.
No, they do not.
But there's a lot of money, and I may be tax free. I'm not sure. They have an F1 race there too, in Doha.
Well, I believe that, but I'm just saying that the process of awarding cities this is always been a little bit controversial.
Yeah.
I mean, you may remember in the last place, which was
Russia.
Was it Russia? Oh, well, Russia, like, they were criticized for just cozying up to a dictator like Putin.
Yes.
But then
it's sports washing. We were talking about it before.
And then there's sports washing, which, if you're not familiar listening, sports washing is the idea that you sort of wash away the sins of your your country by having a big sporting event there. But in Brazil, when it was in Brazil, they like just forcefully eradicated like 10,000 poor people so they could build a stadium.
Oh yeah,
it was brutal. Yeah.
And then all the conversation too is that the aftermath is that like the country that every country that hosts already doesn't have the infrastructure to support and keep using the stadiums. So it's the most ultimate waste too.
Sure. Except I will say that, well, we're going to talk about this in a second, so I'll get to it. So then Qatar gets it. Again, it's a long line of controversy in the history of the World Cup. And they get it, and they start building. Do you know how much money they've spent? They built five stadiums. One of them is a modular stadium that can be taken down and moved.
They actually already deconstructed it.
It's got wheels? Cool.
No, it was called Stadium 974, and it was made with 974 shipping containers.
Bodies.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we're talking about those in a minute. So they built all these stadiums. Do you have any idea how much they spent?
No.
It's like $20 billion.
I don't even...
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
I have no frame of reference for that. Like
for money?
Yeah. Hmm. I don't know.
Is that not a lot to you? Does it sound like
it's a lot. It's so much that it's foreign. It might as well be magic to me.
Yeah, it is magic. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I don't know. There was a point in our life where like a million was like, oh my God. Like you heard a million and it was like, wow, that's incredible.
I'll retire. But then you're like, oh, that's a week.
And then in like 2006, somebody introduced the word billion and it was like, we've been off to the races since then.
So yeah, yeah.
I have no frame of reference. 20 billion. I was at a Michigan, a University of Michigan game and I was like, I have no idea. This could be 5,000 people. And they came on the board and it was like 132,000 people. And I was like, holy it looks shit. Like there's 30 of us. I have no frame of reference for numbers.
Yeah, so you're good with money.
I'm good.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
I'm looking up. Okay, the Las Vegas.
20 billion.
Okay. The Las Vegas Raiders. I don't know if you have been to Las Vegas and seen the new Raiders Stadium.
No.
It's
a football team?
It's a football, U.S. football team. It's insane.
What did they spend on it?
$1.9 billion. And we're talking about they made basically 10 times that amount on five stadiums. So they spent $4 billion per stadium.
I think Las Vegas is actually one of the host cities for the 2026 World Cup, which is a joint host between U.S., Canada, Mexico.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Glad they're bringing it to a non-sin city like Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's
soccer sucks.
It's an insane. Now, look, Qatar is not lacking for money, though.
It's like, also not the first. Yeah, they're definitely not lacking for money. It's also not the first or only major global sporting event surrounded in controversy. I will tell you, on the ground level, production-wise, everybody's saying it's the smoothest running World Cup that's ever happened. Game-wise, it's been the most exciting World Cup in my lifetime.
Really?
Well, yeah. Okay.
The games have been so good. The skill level of the teams has been so equal that the games have been incredible.
Hmm.
A lot of ties.
Or a lot of zero zeros. A
lot of some ties. And then once you get past the group stage, they go to shootouts.
Well, right, but that's case. Look, I'm not going to explain. Okay, that. That's the terrible reason.
Yeah, let's not get into that.
Okay,
let's talk about the conspiracy.
Okay, so the conspiracy is that an American journalist who is very famous for covering soccer, although his career began, or at least his notable career began with a very good article on young LeBron James, who tweeted about him, but an American journalist who, as you said to me recently, was sort of like the best-known soccer journalist in the world.
I won't say he's the best-known, but he's definitely like one of the guys, you know?
Grant Wall.
Grant Wall, yes.
Grant Wall died suddenly at a soccer game on the sidelines of what is officially declared an aneurysm.
Mm-hmm.
He had been complaining in the days prior to his death of shortness of breath and some pain. He thought it was just, he thought it was just due to lack of sleep.
Yeah,
and just
jet
travel.
Lag. Yeah, traveling sucks.
Yeah, I have
Shit
to imagine.
For weeks.
When I used to run some sporting events, track and field events, like the journalists, we would be wrapping up for the day and all the writers would be in the press box just like, trying to get their copy in because it's like, it just, you got to go interview, then you got to write, you got to edit, then your editor sends it back and he's like, cut this down.
Mm-hmm.
Like those guys work really hard, and they're, you know, so they're, so I can see where he was just run down.
Yeah.
But apparently he took some antibiotics, got some sleep, he was feeling better, and then like 2 days later or a day later, he just drops dead on the sideline. Mm. There was pretty good medical staff there.
Yeah, because you got to remember too, like he's a personality. He's like a bit of a celebrity in the world. So like, it's not like he's sitting in the stands and he keels over. He's in a press box. He's in a nice. There's like,
yeah,
they have drinks. You know, they have or catering. There's people around.
Right.
God. And then he falls over. He like collapses, and then yeah, medical attention comes to him.
He gets rushed to a hospital.
How many people were fighting to get the story out first? In this press box.
Probably so.
So it's like, oh my God, okay, I'll help you, but somebody
freaking went live.
Two guys looked at each other and they were like,
yeah,
are you thinking what I'm thinking?
You thinking? This is a breaking news story.
Well, and so now that this person is dead, his brother,
Eric Wall,
tweeted or put on social media that he suspected foul play, which that launched the conspiracy. Mm-hmm. Now, why? Did he suspect foul play? Well, for several reasons. One is that Grant Wall, amongst many, have not been happy with the host country's stance on LGBTQ issues.
From an outsider's perspective, it's first of all, rest in peace, Grant Wall. He was incredible. He was great. Did a lot for the sport of soccer in the United States. I'm not trying to diminish that. But what I will say is that from an outsider's perspective, the walk back of the Qatar World Cup organization and FIFA from what they originally promised to what they actually delivered is hilarious.
Oh, really? What are you talking about?
They started and they were like, oh, it's an Arab country, right? Mm-hmm. Islamic country. And there were a lot of concerns like, well, how are you going to respond to, you know, if gay people show up, you know, LGBTQ people show up, how are you going to respond to that? And from the get-go, they were like, we're an accepting culture. It's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we got to like 6 weeks before, and then the head, I forgot his name, but the head Qatar FIFA guy, he was just like, you need to respect our culture. No signs of PDA amongst gay people.
Oh, sure.
Nothing like that. And then they even passed temporary laws. So no shacking up. There's no extramarital affairs that can happen. So you can't, no one night stands.
What?
Between the same or opposite sexes.
they don't just hate LGBTQ people. They just hate
anybody fun. But men.
Well, yeah, it's just anything anything against Islam, anything against Islam, which is not. And then they also were not going to serve out beer and alcohol in the stadiums in the Brazil World Cup. FIFA made Brazil pass temporary laws to allow for alcohol sales within the stadium.
Brazil wasn't going to sell alcohol?
Brazil was not.
Why would they not? What's their
issue?
Because
they're a Catholic country.
So who gives a shit?
Just give it in little cups.
I'm Catholic. I drink it all the time.
They just were going to sell in the stadiums during the games.
Oh,
like that seems like a safety issue to me.
Yes, I agree. I mean, like, there have been, fuck,
everyone dies in soccer games. Yeah. Everybody. Not one person has lived that's been to a soccer game.
And then Qatar was going to sell alcohol in the, so much so that Budweiser sent over millions of beers.
Right.
Millions of beers. And then like 2 days before the World Cup got kicked off, Qatar was like, oh yeah, no alcohol sales inside the stadium. And so now it's actually a thing like Budweiser tweeted out. They had like shipping containers full of beers that showed up in Qatar. Couldn't distribute it.
It's all skunk now. You send it to the
this
desert,
way, man.
And FIFA, not a thing. Like they made the country Brazil write new laws in order to be able to sell beer.
Nothing.
They didn't even touch Qatar. So crazy. Like there's so much power that I don't think we even know. But like them reeling that, like the promises they made and then reeling those back have been very funny. And I had tickets to go to the World Cup. I had everything.
Really?
I had an apartment. I had tickets. I didn't buy the flight because I lost my job. And I was like, it's just too much.
Come on, man. You can do credit card debt.
I know.
You could have done it.
Why didn't you go?
Oh, it's your gay.
I'm gay.
Yeah.
Well,
that's the conspiracy.
Well, Grant Wall, like many teams, some teams have done some things to indicate their support for, you know, because you slap something that's a rainbow looking emblem on your stuff, and all of a sudden you're an ally.
Yeah, or an enemy of the state.
What the hell's going on?
I don't know. Jordan made so much noise just living.
I made so much noise trying not to make noise.
That's fine.
Okay, so Grant Wall wore a rainbow shirt. I looked at it. I mean, it didn't scream gay pride to me. It was a soccer ball surrounded by the rainbow.
So his nipples weren't cut out of the shirt.
Yeah, it wasn't like fishnet or
there's
something.
There's a journalist. I don't know if he's Qatari. There's a journalist. I don't think he can't be Qatari because of what I'm about to tell you. There's a journalist whose station. The station symbol is rainbow colors.
Yeah.
Not alliance or anything.
Yeah, no affiliation.
He's been arrested like 8 times.
Really?
Yeah. Not arrested is a strong word. He's been detained and questioned like 8 times because of that thing. But November 21st, first day of the, it was the second day of the tournament, of the World Cup. He was going into a game. He wore that shirt, and he got held up. I think he had to turn it inside out or put a jacket on.
Crazy.
And then there was another controversy with a team that tried to go in with something on their uniforms.
Oh, yeah, they had armbands, right?
Germany
yeah.
was trying to wear a one pride or love is love type armband, and they wouldn't
let
him
ironic.
Do it.
I know.
The German team taking a stance.
Yeah, about time.
Yeah. Well, so what happened?
Oh, and then FIFA didn't let him. And so when they got in their first official game picture, they're all covering their mouths.
Oh, good.
Yeah, right.
To say they're silenced.
Yeah, so that's, it's all this kind of silent, it's all this sort of subtle protest. Mm-hmm. Like they're not.
Oh, and Netherlands, too. Netherlands.
So people were immediately, again, Eric Wall saying, I suspect a foul play. But what people really think is that Wall was looking into what is a horrific story of migrant death in Qatar or Qatar, as Jordan says,
or welcome back, Cotter. As he says sometimes
Cotter. What is how are you pronouncing it? Because I feel like he
says Cotter.
Cotter.
I've bounced around a couple.
I'm gonna just stick with Qatar. Cotter. It's what rolls off my tongue. Qatar.
Yeah, like the whatever the. When you write out how it's pronounced or whatever, they I've seen it be C-U-T, capital C, capital U, capital T to denote pronunciation or like emphasis.
Qatar.
And then T-E-H-R, Qatar.
I'm going to call it keytar because that's my favorite keytar. Instrument.
Oh, that's didgeridoo?
Yeah.
No, what is a key? That's a keytar. Something of a sitar.
Yeah, no, a sitar, yeah. Man, you ever go to Indian restaurants in town and that amazing dude plays like System of a Down and shit on his
oh, it's great.
On his sitar. It's
yeah.
so good.
Oh, so good. Yeah. So
you're like in a nice restaurant and then you're like, I know this song. Oh, this is System of
so
a Down.
So the
but to your point, he gets denied entry to a game on November 21st. The tournament kicks off on November 20th. November 21st, he tries to get into a game with a rainbow shirt or shirt with a rainbow on it. And then he does. To your point, he does work his fucking ass off.
Yes.
He's tweeting 20 plus times a day. He's doing a daily World Cup wrap-up podcast.
Oh, shit.
And then on top of that, he's continuing to write articles.
Right.
And he's doing like daily stuff too.
Right.
And then he's got like another podcast or two that he's recording with other people.
So this is his passion. He's doing it.
He is.
Like he's not just a reporter. Yeah, he's living and breathing.
Every 4 years, he is.
Yeah. I bet he loves this. Yeah.
But he dies December 10th.
Right.
On December 8th, he tweeted out a brand new World Cup daily, day 25 of the World Cup.
Yes.
World Cup daily, which is like just ongoing blog or whatever, about the migrant worker deaths.
Yes.
And there's a death of a migrant worker during the World Cup that happens.
Yes.
Around this time at the beginning of December. Mm-hmm. So December 8th, he tweets out new World Cup daily, day 25. They just don't care. Qatari World Cup organizers don't even hide their apathy over migrant worker deaths, including the most recent one. And then it's a photo from the interview with Nasser al-Qatari, or Qatar, who is the Qatar World Cup chief executive, who he's the one that famously, it blows up because he's like,
"Oh, this is
death happens all the time."
Yeah, he's Whoa. Like, death's a part of life.
Death's a part of life.
Yeah. That's crazy.
In response to the death. So Grant Wall writes the thing and tweets it out. It blows up, 30K likes. on December 8th, and he's dead 2 days later.
And you're telling me, real quick, you're telling me the guy that said death is part of life, his last name has the
country
name of the
in
country
it?
In it? That's like, oh, Steve America says people die all the time. Like, what the fuck is that about?
It's probably
Captain
not because
America.
It's, yeah. It's Al Kater. It's K-H-A-T-E-R, and I think Al means, like, of Kater.
Oh,
you
yeah,
know?
Yeah. That's a way they used to name people.
They did, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, wild. Let me just put a fine point on this, because I was sort of blown away by this, is that since 2010, let me just say this, migrant workers in Qatar, they make up like 90% of their labor force.
Yeah.
Like, yes.
If you live in Qatar, like, you probably don't work. That's how wealthy and you are.
Yeah. So
I got to move there.
Like, most everyone in the country, I read the number, most of the people in the country are millionaires.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
And so they have this system of labor that uses migrants. And look, it's basically indentured servitude.
Yeah, they take your passport. They say
it's a brutal system.
You're done.
It's a duty. Yeah. I'm such a kid sometimes. So
I love that we can laugh about death so callously.
I know, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, so they
you're duty when you die. Do you know that?
Yeah.
And when you give birth.
Part of the pressure of them hosting the World Cup was to reform some of the laws and rules around this system, because it's brutal. I mean, I mean, you surrender your passport, you can't leave, your assignment, you're basically an indentured servant until you've completed your task. And since 2010, when Qatar was awarded the World Cup, you know how many people have died? How many migrant workers?
They say between 4,000 and 500.
No.
3,000?
6,500.
Oh, crazy. That's right. I was talking to somebody the other day. It was a comic, and their girlfriend was like, yeah, that's like 3 9/11.
I was just going
to
say, this is like Qatar's 9/11. Yeah. Like, this is crazy.
6,000, you're right. Yeah, yeah.
That's 1.3 people per day. Like literally, like a migrant worker dies in the course of their labor every day. Now, they were not all working on the stadiums, but the bulk of them were working on the stadiums for the last 12 years.
Is OSHA a thing over there?
No.
And I don't know if you've ever been to a country like that. They still use, like, bamboo and shit when they're building buildings instead of like steel rebar. Like,
oh, you mean like the stuff to go up the sides?
Yeah, the scaffolding's like bamboo, which bamboo's is better strong. It's better than steel, but it's also a little sketchy.
I rewatched
sustainable.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, I rewatched Jackie Chan and Chris Tucker.
Oh, Rush Hour 3?
Rush Hour 3, when they go to China and they have the fighting on the bamboo scaffolding.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, that seems so unsafe. And then I Googled it. It's actually a lot better.
It is better.
It's sustainable. It's just as strong.
And it should move. Like high rises, they're like, if the high rise isn't moving, that's a bad thing.
Yes. Yeah. So it's like actually not a bad thing.
It's just weird because you're like, that's outside of my cultural experience. And then this looks dangerous. Right. You're just using grass to get up this building?
Yeah, and that also reminds me that one of the things Qatar said was that they were going to be the first carbon
neutral
World Cup, but they just purchased offsets.
Like what?
Oh, they just
purchased
bought carbon credits. That's all they did.
You buy carbon credits.
Oh.
Yeah, which is incredibly crazy. Controversial.
They're just greenwashing it.
All kinds of washing.
Yeah, tons of washing.
So the theory of this death, that at least about Grant Wall, is that he publishes this tweet that essentially calls into question the entire migrant saga of death, which is just brutal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then a couple days later, he dies.
Yes. Yeah.
And so now let me just make sure it's clear. His family has backed off the conspiracy theory.
Oh, have they?
The body has been sent back to the United States. It's currently at a medical examiner's. They no longer think that there was foul play. At least they have publicly said there's no foul play involved.
Yeah.
Now, also, because Americans are also able to conspiracy theory, many people have said he was killed because of his wife.
Oh, no.
What?
Did you know this?
Is she gay?
No.
Hard to figure out.
She was President Biden's advisor for infectious disease. She is one of the premier COVID researchers in the world. And people are like, That's the real story.
Damn. There. Just when I thought we'd have no issues with this episode, here we go.
Yeah. I was like, we're just going to talk about soccer the whole time.
What about that? That's a little bit.
That's crazy. I wanted to bring it up because I saw it on the conspiracy subreddit, which is like it was like Grant Wall or 48-year-old, very like perfectly healthy, vaccinated Grant Wall dies in Qatar. And then the top thing was like, yeah, I thought the conspiracy was that he was killed, not that he was vaccinated.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That conspiracy that was gone off the rails, I had to leave it. I was just like,
which one? Oh, that.
Just our conspiracy. It's just like, it's lost.
Oh, it's
just bots. It's bots, Russian trolls. Bots now. Just,
yeah, it's crazy. Well, so that's, now, when I read all this and then his family backed off of it, I was sort of like, this is probably nothing. This is probably, a guy dies of an aneurysm. Apparently, he was very lean and lanky, which is associated with a medical condition that's more prevalent to have an aneurysm in.
Oh, really? Damn, I got to bulk
up. Yeah, he looked very in shape.
He was very much in shape because whatever this is, you tend to be very tall and lean, and for some reason, those people have a higher percentage of aneurysms.
Hmm.
But
really?
But then, this is where things got weird, is that a couple days later, a migrant worker fell off a stadium and didn't die.
Oh, brutal. Which floor?
Like the top.
Oh, God.
And did not die.
He did not. Well, he was rushed to the hospital. But another journalist.
Yeah, another journalist. Another.
This was a
Muslim. Did that guy fall on the guy?
I thought he was a Qatari journalist.
He is a local journalist. So now I'm starting to think that there might be something to this.
Yeah, and like, two is a little like. One is like maybe it was an accident, but two, you're starting to get into.
Two, you're starting to be like, hey,
it's a pattern.
This is like, and it's especially a pattern because it's not just related to Qatar, but it's definitely like a Middle Eastern thing, which is like controlling the narrative of how you're perceived is paramount to anything. And again, if you have a guy who works for your country saying death is a part of life,
yeah.
Like,
I mean, it's not wrong, just insensitive.
Yeah, and so compared to the last World Cup, Russia in 2018, this report came out about a year before the World Cup happened in 2018. So June of 2017, a year out, at least 17 construction workers have died, which is a very different number than 6,000.
Yeah,
it's well, ridiculous.
That was Russia.
That was Russia.
Did they all fall out windows? Because that's a thing.
Yeah,
yeah.
No, it's weird. They all died with cement around their feet.
It's weird. That's so weird.
Yeah, I'm starting to think that maybe. I mean, there's so many little anecdotal stories that have come out from people that are talking about this. That's like, yeah, like we haven't really had journalistic free press here.
Yeah,
like it's been very controlled. Mm-hmm. Right, and like very, very structured, and there was even an event that at Grant Wall was at where somebody either he or someone in the press was like, so this is how it's going to be, like we're not going to be able to tell the story
as
we want. Okay. They've been like this is where you're allowed to be. This is what you're allowed to write about. This is what you're allowed to see.
It's like going to North Korea to report on freedom. Right, like, that's like, not going to work. You have a handler. You have people watching you the entire time.
The journalists have been extremely handled. It sounds to me that if nothing else, Grant Wall was like, I'm gonna push some buttons here and see what happens.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean we talked about this briefly. Like in ancient times, there was this rule amongst the superpowers of the world, the ancient Romans and Greece, when they were like, you didn't kill another country's herald. Like we had to communicate information.
Don't kill the messenger.
Right. Yeah, like that's literally like where it came from. Don't shoot the messenger. Like you walked in flying a flag that showed like, I'm just here to deliver a message. And if you killed that person, it's an act of war.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's like we can't have it. We don't have a society if we can't give you information that you're killing it, right? And so like to me, killing a journalist is really problematic.
Yeah.
But this is kind of defense of why you don't kind of think –
I did not think that yesterday.
Right.
But the more I learned about the human rights atrocities in Qatar, and like I started to think that if Grant Wall or anything was going to blow a story open or paint Qatar in an increasingly negative light. Like the risk of killing him somehow outweighs the risk of having this negative article out. And I also discovered that one of his journalistic friends was Ken Benzinger. Do you know who that is? Yeah. He wrote the definitive work on the FIFA scandal.
Oh shit.
And the soccer. And like I saw tweets from like 2016 where like Grant Wall's like, I didn't know Benzinger was related to this Netflix expose on FIFA. So excited to see his work. Like if they were just like, you know what? Take Grant Wall out. Fuck all these guys that are coming after us. Like that, I don't know. It's like Occam's razor. Like when I think about it, I'm like, I mean, maybe, and people die.
Yeah, but like, also, like, think about this. Rich people don't give a shit because they're like, tomorrow I'm still going to be rich. If you hate on Qatar, it's not going to change. Like, this is a month window that people are paying attention to us.
Mm-hmm. No, but here's
but
the
then thing. It'll go away. So, like, why would they kill someone if nobody gives a shit?
No, but here's why. Because Qatar, like I said, they have spent billions, and the money they spent on the World Cup was all part of a larger plan to bring tourists into Qatar.
Right.
And if the story coming out of the World Cup was, they hosted the World Cup. Yeah, it was perfect, but they also killed 6,000 workers and anyone that spoke badly about the country.
Yeah, like, I guess so.
Then you're like, well, I'm not going there.
Yeah,
like, it defeats like decades worth of PR work essentially to increase
the. But how many people are going there? I would not go there just because I'm like, well, they don't like gays, they don't like women. I like gays and women, they're my friends, and sometimes my lovers. I'm not gonna go there because I don't approve of their politics. So how is that gonna, like, I think the world is changing, so how is that? I just don't understand how, like, they're...
I don't know if we are the target market for that.
Oh, it's Muslim countries where they're, it's like, this Muslim is our country, life, this is what
we do. Muslim destination. They might like that, though,
there's
right?
There's a lot of people that would still go, that would identify and align with the morality and, like, the moral guidelines of Islam and, therefore, that country.
True. Also, I must say, too, not to cut you off, but I did, also, like, Saudi Arabia... They say, tourists, you can't do these things. But the people who live in Saudi Arabia drink and do that shit all the time. Right, but it's right, like, right, it's right. Like, do as we say, not as we do. So, like, maybe the people on the inside are like, we can do all we want over there.
I should have researched this a little bit more. I didn't know it was going to come up. But Qatar and Saudi Arabia might be having some disputes. Saudi Arabia is going through something right now with somebody in the area.
Oh, really?
It might be Qatar, but I'm not sure. So, like, I think I'm just bringing that up in the face of like, hey, these guys are warmongering right now. But
right.
Like, wow, we're on the coast. We got beaches and shit.
Yeah,
like,
true, yeah.
It's just such a weird game. It's such a weird game that this region of the world sits on this massive amount of oil reserves, which has made them fantastically wealthy, but only by exporting it to the wealthiest countries in the world, which is the United States is one, China's another. And like, so there's this precarious balance where they continuously try to be seen in this positive light.
Yeah.
Else they run the risk of like the United States just being like, you know what? Fuck you.
We're about to say fuck you.
We're coming in. We're fucking like,
we have nuclear fusion now. Fuck them. Yeah, 10 years. We're not going to need them.
Oh, that's a really sharp point.
Yeah.
You're talking about the article that just came out. The
Department of Energy.
Like, we can now make, like, we have.
They can make energy.
Unlimited energy.
Unlimited energy.
What do they do? They produce more fusion than went into creating
it. They produce more energy. Was it megajoules?
One and a half in, three out. So they doubled the energy output. Oh, wow.
And they said 10 to 30 years to get it to a market. But are we going to share that patent?
No.
Yeah.
We're going to be the wealthiest country in the world again.
Yeah, yeah.
And I guess I believe that. And gosh, this is a conspiracy that we could do a fucking series on.
Oh, yeah.
Which is like energy independence. Like if let's just say like they came out on that press conference and said, yeah, we're really surprised. Not only does this work, it would take us like, you know, maybe like 2 years to get it up and running and power the entire United States free energy.
Yeah.
The opposition to that from within the United States would be tremendous.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like the people that keep us dependent upon Middle Eastern oil, which essentially makes them like they're like the De Beers of oil. Like we buy diamonds because we're advertised that diamonds are necessary, and it whitewashes over the atrocities of the diamond market. Like that's the same thing happening here with this. I think of all of this, it's the sport washing that bothers me the most.
Sure, yeah.
It's like Qatar literally spent billions and billions of dollars to try to project to the world this image, right, that keep buying our oil, like we're good people.
And same with the Olympics. I mean, the Olympics do the same thing. I don't approve of the Olympics. I don't approve of soccer. I don't approve of any.
You don't approve of the Olympics?
The Olympics are bullshit, too. It's the exact same story. It's like we're gonna rip this country apart to build stuff and kill people in the process. And then when everyone leaves, we're going to have 30 stadiums that sit empty and decay. And the people that need help are still living on the streets.
And I thought that the Olympics happen in the host country of the World Cup 2 years after the World Cup.
No.
So where is the 2024 Olympics happening?
I think that's in L.A.
Oh, is it in L.A.?
Wait, with the 2024 Olympics?
They're going to be in Paris.
Paris. And then L.A.
Okay.
And Paris and L.A., by the way, both made a very strong case.
Because the last two Olympics have happened in the host country.
It just happened to work out that way.
So Sochi in Russia, and then Russia World Cup, and then Brazil.
Well, that's how they should do it, because then you're using what you created. Yeah,
yeah. And that's what Paris and LA said. It's like, we don't really have to build a lot. LA's like, we have the 1984 stuff still here. We just have to renovate it.
Crazy. Standards.
And like Paris is like, we've hosted the Olympics before. We have the stadiums. We have everything. Yeah.
Okay, well, good.
We just got to have to, you know.
Think we just need to have just keep reusing sites. Don't have a new place. If you weren't in it the first time, you're fucked. You just got to recycle your sites.
Keep the rich rich.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
I'm starting to think that maybe this guy, I don't know how you create an aneurysm. Like I don't know that you can induce an aneurysm, but again, I'm not saying you can't.
What is an aneurysm?
It's a blood clot in the brain that ruptures.
It's just a bubble. It's like so let's talk about final thoughts. I went into this, you know, because we talked about this yesterday briefly. I went in saying there's no way that Qatar killed a journalist. And then I read about the second journalist dying. And that one is like even more bizarre. Like the guy just died.
Sure.
Like they haven't released a cause of death. All they've said is like, you know, may Allah keep him in his blessings and peace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he's Muslim, and they're just like, we don't.
Was there any discourse around like what he was talking about, what he was saying?
No, it's so absent. Like the articles, like second journalist dies. It's like a second journalist has died. Grant Wall was an American journalist.
Oh, weird.
What
about the other guy?
Yeah, like what about the other guy? There's literally no talk of it.
But that's no different than any journalistic thing that we've witnessed since 9/11. They're like, oh, white people are the ones we'll talk about. Yeah. You're Muslim when you died? Sorry, we'll just brush
that
out.
But it also happened right after this guy fell off a stadium, too. Mm. And then a journalist died.
Yeah, I mean, the unfortunate fact, these stats are normal. Like, people, I'm not about to be like that guy, but people die during these events.
Sure.
They're so massive. You know, 70 workers died during the construction of the 2014 Olympics in Sochi. 13 died before the Olympics in Rio de Janeiro. 6 before the Olympics in Beijing. And 0 actually died building Olympic Park in London. But, the deaths just happen. I know what it's like to travel. I mean, Grant talks about it in his blog. I mean, what did he say? He was talking about my body. He wrote this on his own Substack. My body finally broke down on me. 3 weeks of little sleep, high stress, and lots of work can do that to you. He wrote this to himself and gave it to the Associated Press. What had been a cold over the last 10 days turned into something more severe on the night of the USA-Netherlands game, and I could feel my upper chest take on a new level of pressure and discomfort. He didn't have COVID, but he went to the medical, blah, blah, blah. I know what it's like. I've been to a bachelor party in Michigan, you know, and that was only 3 days worth of partying.
Right.
And I come back and I'm like, I get the cycle of being a rock star, and I'm like, this is the worst I've ever felt. Yeah. I would love a bump of Coke right now.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
And that cycle, so I get it. And your body can just give up. But also, he's 48. That seems prime aneurysm years, you know?
Yeah, it probably is.
Yeah, I just don't like. I pulled up an article that I read earlier that says this, just so you guys can see what I found to be suspicious. This Gulf Times reported that Al Qas TV photojournalist Khalid al-Mislam died suddenly while covering the event. The circumstances surrounding his death remain unclear. The news comes days after American journalist Grant Wall died. Rest the article about Grant Wall.
Boom. Yeah.
So, like, died mysteriously, like, uncertain, like, no coverage. And it's the same day that, like, a guy that fell off the stadium and didn't die. So
but,
I don't know if they're related, but...
People die all the time. It is. Death is part of life.
Shane works for Cotter now.
Yeah, I do.
On the flip side, they just came out. They just released this stat, like, within the last day or two. First time in history that no England soccer fans were arrested at a World Cup.
What?
Yes.
There's no hooligans there?
Yeah, it's because there was no beer in the stadium. Oh, yeah.
Well, that's a good call, then.
They only had beers in the fan villages.
Well, English soccer, I mean, I understand why they fight. Like if I went to a game and it was constantly 0-0 for 90 minutes, I'd be like, this is so fucking boring. I need some action. And punch this guy.
Also, they all show up knowing soccer's bullshit, so they're angry at the beginning.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Okay, I'm not even upset. I'm not upset by it. It's just such an old...
Hacky.
Like, 0-0 tie. Like, okay, cool.
We'll fix the game.
I mean, the game's fine.
It's not.
The game's fine.
I mean, I get it. Like, we need somewhere...
Why aren't you okay with there being more than two options for an ending?
Because that's not an ending.
Yeah,
I mean, right? Like,
no, I mean, it is because they happen.
Yeah, but it's not happy.
It's not. It's like nobody wants that, man.
I don't know.
It's like when people.
This just lets me know that you haven't seen any. Like, there have been World Cup matches this cycle that have ended in a draw, and it feels like a loss for one team and a win for another team. And that's something that is unique to
feelings,
soccer.
We're basing it on feelings now?
That's what sports is, though.
That is absolutely what sports is.
Feelings?
Yeah.
Have you seen Welcome to Wrexham? You may hate soccer. It's a...
Wrexham. Damn near killed him. That's so stupid. Okay.
They explore a lot more, but everybody's heard that Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney from It's Always Sunny, they bought a fourth division soccer team, which makes it borderline semi-professional.
Okay.
So like half semi, half whatever, professional, whatever. And the team is called Wrexham AFC Athletic Football Club. And it's a great documentary. I think it's on Amazon or something like that. The second to last episode explores the relationships and friendships between men and sports fans. Mm. And it's all about that like men are incapable or heretofore have been incapable of conveying emotion for each other outside of sports.
Oh, yeah. This goes right back to my bit I was trying to pitch the other day. I was like, the only reason people do UFC is so they can hug a dude at some point.
Yeah, yes. That's right. Yeah. I didn't hear that.
That's good.
It's like, I can't show my emotions unless I'm...
Yeah. So that's what sports is. That's fine.
Okay.
But the 0-0 draw, that's so boring. That also lets me know you've never seen a baseball game. That's fucking... Wow. I love this no hitter. And
I hate baseball.
He pitched a perfect game. Oh, you mean in your ideal scenario, in your perfect game, and I'm stealing this from Andy Stanford, but in your perfect baseball game, you label it that, nothing happens.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
No pitch. All strikes, no hits.
My point.
I love baseball.
Is like, would people have an amicable divorce? I'm like, that. No.
That's not a divorce. A divorce is supposed to be a big hatchet.
You either
down the
stay
middle.
Married or you fucking hate each other.
Yeah.
Is there anything creepier than a child that comes from a happy marriage? Ugh, it's so
you
gross.
You think a happily married kid is a gross thing?
Yeah.
It just doesn't exist.
I know we're talking about your kids now.
Yeah, that's really shitty, man.
But we know Justin. They're not happy.
They're creepy, dude. They come from, they're well adjusted. Ugh.
They're not, though. No, they're you not. Think people yeah, always right, thought right, I was well adjusted. Now I'm older. They're like, God, yeah, he's really got problems. I
mean, that's not a normal.
No, it's really.
That's
not.
You're from a divorced family. That's a broken home.
It's definitely broken.
Nothing's more broken than that.
Yeah. I think it takes generations to get stable. Like, also, my kids are, like, for better or worse, my kids are smart, which is just, in my mind, is problematic.
Yeah,
like,
being smart's really tough.
It's brutal. Yeah. It's brutal. I had a long talk with my daughter recently about it. And I'm like,
heavy is the crown of knowledge.
Yeah,
you know?
All right. Well, we got final thoughts. I'm starting to think that there is more going on. Once I read the totality of what has happened in the last 12 years in Qatar related to this World Cup, in how tightly they've tried to control the narrative. And the idea of killing one journalist to shut down something that they didn't want to be in the, like, that to me, that equation just balances so quickly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
It's a sign, right?
Like, you call the wolf and you're like, hey, we need this to look like, we covered once a fish toxin that is, you can inject into people. And the U.S. was experimenting with ice darts. So you could use a blowgun or this dart gun to fire this thing into people's necks.
And the ice melts.
Yeah. The ice melts.
Man, I've always thought, I was like, this is the dumbest thing. But like, you know what, it's like, there's no such thing as a perfect crime. It's like, what about stabbing somebody with a large icicle, dude? And then the ice melts.
Right.
But then the detective shows up and it's like, we have no murder weapon. But boy, is there a lot of water on the floor.
Right. Well, there's other ways. So, you know, you can strangle someone with a towel, but the towel will leave marks unless it's a wet towel. And then it won't leave marks.
Too much information.
Really?
Yeah.
Too much knowledge of this stuff.
Yeah, don't do this, guys.
Yeah, cut this out.
Do you think?
I don't care if we sound racist, but we're like,
I need something.
This is a real thing.
My wife just got me a letter opener, which is classic husband stabbing material.
Sure, yeah.
Tool. So I need a little something to fight back with. So.
Yeah, fair enough.
Well, right. And I'm just saying, like, when we talked about this in the pod, I was like, look, if they have freaking fish toxin ice darts that have leave no hole.
This is where I'm at. Yeah.
Where I'm like, if they have that, then you can't tell me that a country as rich as Qatar doesn't have one guy that's like, oh, I can put a little toxin in him and he'll have an aneurysm in the next 24
for
hours.
For sure.
And they're like,
for sure.
Do it.
And they can probably do it with sound or something, like infrasound. Probably, so it's like Havana syndrome. They're just like, I'm just going to blow this dude's shit up.
Oh, so now when I thought about it, I was like, get knocked. I think that's what happened. That's my final thought. Also, just to be clear, soccer, I think, is a bunch of guys. I think it's like, hey, you're not good enough to make varsity, but you can play soccer.
So fair enough. Fair enough. All right,
I think in your ideal scenario, you want them getting CTE and then offing themselves and possibly their families 15 years after their careers end. Okay,
that's a real sportsman.
That's a real
yeah.
My final thought. I think soccer actually is a sport. I've tried to run. I've tried to run once in soccer and I about died. So I understand the aerobic stamina and ball skills these people have. Good for them. Qatar, I don't know if they're killing people, but they're not good people.
No,
I'll tell you that. No one that has that much money is a good person.
There's a level of wealth.
And based on that, anyone that like runs soccer, we all know they're pieces of shit. So soccer should be disbanded. It should just go to high school and maybe just middle school people that play it. And then once you get to the point where you start making money, they're like, well, nope, that always corrupts it. And then you just like, just let kids play sports and then let the adults do the work. That's
like
what I
say. Like field hockey.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a really good point, Shane, because I don't know what the threshold is. But there's a point where you have enough wealth that I genuinely believe all you care about is the wealth.
Sure.
Like, it's impossible to amass a certain amount of money where you're not just like, my number one priority in life is protecting that money.
Yeah.
At all costs. Like, there's no one with $1 billion. It's like, billion, take it or leave it. I don't care.
That's weird, too, because
I can live without.
They do studies that show that people that make less money donate more.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
And I've realized that recently. I make no money. And I tipped the other day accidentally double the price.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, I feel bad that I asked for this drink or whatever. So I doubled. And I was like, I have no money. What the fuck am I doing?
Right.
But I feel bad that I even insulted this guy that I asked for this one drink. So, like, people that don't make money just lose it.
Yeah.
So, all right. Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. All right.
What's your final thought?
I think he was killed.
All right.
I think he was killed. I think he started causing problems, and Qatar was in a position to just deal with it, and then a situation and opportunity presented itself that he was incredibly run down. He was incredibly sick, and he had been for 10 days. And on top of that, he'd been tweeting about it. Mm-hmm. This already very vocal man and writer and journalist was being very public about his sickness and in an event that's already been very cultivated and guided, an opportunity presented itself.
Are you saying he was down with the sickness?
I think
sitar style.
He was dinging it. Yeah. So
he was being treated in Qatari medical facilities.
Yeah.
I mean,
and they probably got great facilities. I mean, they have that much money. I bet they have the best hospitals in the world.
Yeah. I mean, I bet the ones the World Cup are pretty, pretty spot on.
Probably like, hey, if this guy comes in, treat his disease and then put this in his body so it kills him. You know?
If there can be, and I'm back to the fish thing, like there's something out there that can kill you that can mimic an aneurysm.
Sure.
Aneurysms have been around. I don't even know. They've been around forever, probably.
I would think.
We just didn't have a name for them.
Sure.
And there's something, I bet there's some fucking pufferfish poison that mimics it that you can slip into, a drink that he orders.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, 2 days before it actually, happens to him. So, and the reason I think the reason I think he was killed is because look at the response. It's just been an outpouring of support for himself and his family, and now it's slowly fading away. It's a pretty easy kill.
Yeah, it's very easy.
Right. And somehow his family has backed off the conspiracy angle, whether that's through pressure or just well-meaning doctors being like, he just had an aneurysm. We can't find anything. And it's like, and Qatar's like, that's why you call the wolf, man.
He's
perfect. Or it's like, hey guys, there's like black Suburbans following us everywhere we go now. The whole Wall family's like, let's just say it was not, foul play.
Sure.
I wonder if he'd found something out too. Like actually all the migrant workers, fucking came from Saudi Arabia.
Right? There's a mass grave somewhere where there's way more than 6,500.
Right.
Like,
I have to assume. I mean, we could probably talk about that for another 20 minutes. If the release number is 6,000, I have to assume it's at least 50% more than that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like,
sure.
I bet 10,000 people.
Sure.
You got a lowball it, of course.
Yeah. Well, this has been very interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, I know there was a lot of sports talk up top. If you didn't like that and you're listening, I don't really care.
No, what I'm going to do is I'm gonna make it a double speed where you guys are arguing.
Or like the chipmunks.
It's going to be 4,000.
Chicken stop! Chicken stop!
It's going to be great.
I'm sorry. No, but we generate some great content, and this was one of the best.
So it's really fun.
I agree.
By the way, where can folks find and follow you besides Bop or Flop, the great podcast that I've only been on once?
But I'm
sorry, guys.
No, that's so sorry.
You're not Alex Hofford, so we don't.
That's
want
right. He's on all the time. What the hell?
At AKA Young Beefy on all social media, and give me a follow, and then maybe give a Don't Tell Triangle. If you're in the Triangle and you want to see a pop up secret comedy show,
great show.
Yeah, super cool. Super cool.
Yeah. And I'm not even trying to get booked when I say that. I'm just saying it's really good. It's really fun.
Yeah. I'll get you guys on.
I mean, whatever.
I haven't even been on a not secret show, so it's fine.
Tell everyone comedy.
Well, thank you guys for having me. This has been a blast.
We'll do it again.
We'll do it again
in 2 minutes.
Thanks. Thanks. This has been Conspiracy Beer Me. I'm still Justin.
I'm Shane, and this was. This is Jordan.
This is Jordan.
Oh, I'm Jordan. I'm sorry.
We didn't brief you. You've done the pod multiple times. It's fine. Peace.